Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so if there are any problems with starting to come up with the people who are taking on welfare, immediately drugs trying to work. And so I just find that to be very interesting contrast. That really need to have a successful and flourishing environment. And I don't think that it's the two different types of people you were talking about sort of what I don't think it's a question of being a people person really. I think that those are just basic qualities that need to be there for some sort of honest workplace to business side of all of us.
Yeah, I agree. In all of the different stylistic differences, a common thread I see in all human beings is that need to connect with other human beings, the need for some form of community building, some form of deep connection making. That's I think, a basic human need. I also think you're speaking of him doing a very innovative way of doing his business, which is really exciting to see that. What I want to say is I'm seeing more of that. What I'm seeing is some shifts, and you know, this new energy as it's manifesting in organizations and in businesses, and I'm seeing people do things differently. I'm seeing people do leadership differently. I'm seeing people figure out how to work with competition and market share in different ways. They're looking at it in a deeper way, a more connected, more holistic, if you will, way, which is a simple way to talk about that quantum physics.
Can I just say one more thing? I think it's beautiful that this place is not so much getting people off all their weapons, but I think it's very good for this company because the field that he works in is engineering, and they do stuff that's so fast, it's crash cans. But when you work in a company like that, it's still very easy if you're part of a large corporation to feel like you become a cog in a corporation.
Yeah, and I think that what I'm seeing in organizations, which I often find there's a view, a prejudice view that many of us have participated in, is that, you know, corporations or business is heartless, and there's no heart in it, and people don't care, and it's all about power and control and greed. And I'm seeing that that's really changing. I mean, I get just the privilege, really, of going into so many different organizations. And what I see in there is a lot of heart. And there is a lot of sort of innovation of people doing things in different ways. Now, they're doing them often within some pre-existing structures that are fairly, you know, rigid. And I know, you know, I've talked to some people in the room that are in, you know, I think healthcare and education are actually less receptive to changing quickly than business corporations. So those of you, you know, in healthcare and hospitals and those kinds of things, those are real hierarchical structures, hospitals. You know, I mean, people even wear uniforms depending on where they sit in the hierarchy in hospitals. Think about that one, okay? The orderlies wear a different uniform than the nurses and the docs. Everybody has different uniforms. It's a very steep and rigid hierarchy. I think in the business world, which we often think of as being filled with greed and power, actually I'm seeing that changing. Now you also, as whenever an old system is crumbling and dissolving, you have people who are invested in the old way. You have people who are invested in the old way. And they're going to hold on tighter to that old way of doing things. Particularly, I see, you know, managers who've been around a long time who have not changed, you know, who have gotten high levels in organizations by being very directive managers, bottom line results, get it done people. They're still practicing that style of leadership. There are some of those that have been around a long time who are choosing to change and see that it makes more sense, you know, that you're going to get more buy-in from people if they're involved in processes, if they have input in the decisions. And this is really kind of the new form of leadership, is to do it where you are paying attention to people, and every individual is significant. They're not disposable. They're important as long as they're in that organization. Another thing that I see is on the caring level, on the heart level, the word that's okay to say in the workplace that's about heart is care. When I go in and I talk with, you know, teams, I do some work where I'll take a team, sometimes it's in trouble or they want to go in a particular direction. Sometimes I work with a group that's been already together for a period of time. And I always hear them say one of their assets is, we really care about each other. Or there's a lot of caring in this group. I hear that even with teams that are in conflict sometimes. I'll even hear they care about each other. There may be two people who are going at it in that group, but the container for that group is that there's caring. So that one, you know, I really invite all of you, if you're holding prejudices around greed and negativity in there, I'm here to tell you, don't you perpetuate that old way by clinging to those prejudices. As long as you are holding those prejudices that it's all about greed and it's all about power in the negative way, you are propping up those old ways. Yes. Yes. It's not pretending it doesn't exist. It's not like, you know, it's not there. But what are you going to choose? You know, it's like, are you going to choose to look at it like this every day, or are you going to choose to look at it like this? Mm-hmm. It's a choice. It's the same thing. It's my hand here. You know, it's the same work situation. Are you choosing to look at all the things that are wrong in that situation? Are you going to choose to look at the opportunities and the ways that it is changing? And the ways that we are caring more, the way that we are paying attention. For example, communication. One of the things when I go in into organizations, you know, what is the biggest thing here? If you changed it, things would be different. They say communication. When I lean into that, what do they mean? They're talking about honest, open, respectful communication. That's different than what I heard 15 years ago. Yeah.
I don't see any clear, glorious answer to how you spend 30 years of your life working. Mm-hmm. Have you identified, as they interview and they look around, and all of us look as to where are things to place our energies for a certain number of years, not me, because I'm not here at any of that.
Yeah.
Are there ways of understanding before you jump into a wrong situation?
Mm-hmm.
What's that situation going to be? What's the care level? What's the interaction level?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think these are good questions. How do you, before you jump in, determine what the care level is, the compassion level? Yeah, I think that in an interviewing situation, both people are being interviewed. If I'm interviewing with a job for you at your company and you're going to be my boss, I'm interviewing you about that company and you as much as you're interviewing me. I think, you know, so I see a different paradigm around interviewing. So when you go into an interview situation, don't just sit there and think, oh, what are they going to ask me? How can I respond to these? What do I think they're going to do? No, have your questions that are going to get to the heart of those things. Like, how does care get expressed here? Or, you know, asking questions that are going to go to what qualities you want to make sure are there.
But really what underlies a lot of that is just fear.
Yes.
And that's just human beings. You know, they're no different.
Yes.
In that setting than they are in any other setting. And, you know, when you, in yourself, when you feel compassion and you can open your heart a little bit, you know, again, no matter who that person is, I think, in my experience of the 25 years, most, I can't even think of anyone who didn't respond on some level, who didn't open. If you open, if
right.
you're open, and
right.
your heart is open, you know, people don't want to, you know, you see people out of the work setting, you see how different they are. Well, even in a work setting, I mean, Wall Street is not, a, you know, real cuddly kind of place.
No.
You know, people, you know, they want to do a good job, they want to succeed. You know, a lot of times if they're behaving in a really dysfunctional way, it's because they're afraid or they feel out of
yeah.
control.
Yeah.
You know, and you can respond to that in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that she's making a good point. You know, a lot of times these behaviors do come from fear, and you have some influence this on this. You know, in systems theory of looking at things, it's things happen in a system, and if a person is acting out from their fears, you're also in their system if you interact with them. So if one thing changes in the system, in systems theory, everything else reorganizes around that. So if you change how you are, if, you know, when they're in their fear, instead of you just responding or pushing it away, if you're present with it, you have the capacity to make a difference in that. Yeah. Go ahead. You haven't spoken.
With that in mind, one of the things that Sebastian and I talked about, we had a similar kind of question. I work for a board, and it's my job to see that what the board wants done gets done. And I don't always agree with it philosophically, and it doesn't always feel good inside. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure how to, you know, if it gets to a point, do I leave that structure? And then one of the things Sebastian was talking about was the idea of having tools. In what you were just talking mm-hmm. about in terms of mm-hmm. systems, if you're working in a situation where the people that are directing your work, either your bosses or your board or whatever, are not in tune with, well, I don't know what path most of the people I work for on the board are. They're real estate brokers, so it's a confusing path.
Oh.
But it's not the same moral place that I'm coming from, and so I often come in conflict with ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering within what you were just talking about, how do I take that into the workplace and find a way to be okay with the fact that I don't agree with them. I don't have to leave the job.
Right.
I cannot sit and talk about caring with them. They don't. at least not on the conference calls. But how can I shift where I am that might mm-hmm. impact change? Mm-hmm. What kind of tool mm-hmm. would help make a shift there mm-hmm. so that I didn't have to leave it?
Yeah. Yeah. When you're in a situation where it's not appropriate for you to leave it, the choice is to be unhappy or to shift yourself, right?
Yeah, some extent, or to at least feel like I'm impacting some kind of shift, even mm-hmm. if it's not getting them mm-hmm. touchy-feely.
Yeah, I mean, one option you always have available is to work with their higher self, from your higher self. You know, you always have that option available.
Mm-hmm.
You know. If there's some opening, you always have to ask permission to see if there's, you know, openness there. But you have that option. You also have, you know, the opportunity. I mean, there are beings that want to work with us. There are beings, you know, this, I mean, just like the Friends of God. I mean, they don't have bodies right now, and they are real excited that there's people like us who want to do the work. So you're not entirely on your own. you know? I mean, you are a representative. And and I feel that there's like guidance, kind of the spirit of guidance available for us too. And I think it's important to remember to ask, you know, for that guidance, to ask, you know, ask for guidance in situations like that. Also, you know, depending on the situation, if you're disagreeing with things, you know, it's important to ask yourself whether or not giving your voice is important right then. I mean, maybe the dissenting voice should be heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's happening repeatedly for you and you're choosing to stay in that situation, I mean, you know, you need to be authentic to yourself. I think, you know, it's important for us to be authentic in the workplace. Very important for us to be authentic. What I'd like to do here is move these chairs back and close in the circle here because that energetically shifts us. And you had something you were going to say? To not get caught in it,
no,
if they're
no,
in the.
No, I think you have to like stick with this challenge. Like,
yeah.
You have to stay there and have the time you need to heal the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're raising a really good point. When you're in a tough situation, you know, that's where I, you know, remind you of checking in with your guidance, your inner guidance or whatever that is for you. Is it your ego that's saying tenaciously, I need to stay in here, I need to make a difference, this needs to be changing? Is that your ego or is that guidance saying you need to stay there? I think, you know, really knowing the difference between those two is important. So sometimes it's, you know, you leave. Sometimes you leave and you go to a different situation. Sometimes your work is done there. The place is not where you'd like to see it in your dreams, but your work may be done. Your work may be done. Yeah. Yes. Good point. Your work's not done there, it'll show up in your next job. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly, if you keep having the same situations coming up in the work, that is your work. That is your work, you know, and a lot of times sort of the same dynamics will come up again because that is your work. It's like, you know, David White talking about living out your destiny in the workplace. Your work comes up right there. And because we spend so much time in the workplace, most of us, that's where it comes up because that's when you're awake the most. You know, you do your dream work and you do your other work, but, you know, your daily practice stuff is in the workplace. Yes, yes, and I've had that happen too. Yeah, the person. Another thing about loving people, I want to say a little more about this because and how I work with this because I think this is an important piece. And if I could just tell a quick story, recently I did a program where there were four consultants and we were doing four concurrent sessions. We were doing the same seminar. Same organization, but four different groups. And they decided in most of those rooms that the content of the seminar was beneath them, that they already knew what we were trying to talk about. So the first break, hour and a half into the seminar, of a 3-day seminar, there was a mutiny going on. There was, you know, big circles, you know, little clusters out in the hall discussing it and starting to, basically they were ready to, you know, like just mutiny on the whole thing and on us and, you know, the consultants. Now, I had some real challengers in my room. I could see the material was not at the right level. In my assessment, it really, they were right. Some of it wasn't at their level. I had to get permission from the people organized that seminar, which was not me, to change what I was doing in that room, because our agreement was we were going to be consistent in all rooms. I did get permission to do that, and with the challenging people, I had some people who were ready to cut me off at the knees. I had to, these were, real, they were bright, they were real aggressive. I mean, aggressive was a value of theirs, mm-hmm. And there was one guy in particular, Jeremy, who was, he was a handful, and Jeremy was going right at me, tough questions. And there was another guy also in there, Michael, who was doing it. And I made a choice, to make them my friends and make them my allies and not make them my enemies. Their behaviors were driving me crazy, And yeah, they had big egos. Yep, true. And they were challenging me, and they were ready to trash me if I didn't make the change that they wanted or didn't give them what they wanted, right? So I decided I'm going to like these people. Now that took a stretch, but Jeremy, it was a stretch. Big stretch. But I did do that. Now, over in one of the other rooms, this woman, Carol, hated the people. Same things, behaviors going on in her room. She decided she didn't like them. During the break, I talked to her. She says, they're a bunch of big egos. I've never seen the biggest bunch of egos in my entire life. These guys are obnoxious, on down the line. I said, Carol, if we don't like these guys and we talk negatively about them out of the room, it's going to convey when we go in the room, right? And this went on for 3 days. Every time we had a staff meeting, Carol was about these guys. Well, day three, in my room, things had been highly successful. We were at a conference center where there was tennis, there was golf, there was a million things to do that they could have left and gone off and done. They stayed. Almost all the people signed up for the seminar were there the full 3 days. There were a couple that went off and played golf and came and asked my permission and told me they wanted to do that and they weren't going to be there for a couple of hours, right? Carol's room, guess what happened? Emptied out. She had very few people left in there, and the ones who stayed, we did evaluations at the end. They rated us in the basement ratings. My ratings were very good. Okay? I really feel like it was the fact that I decided I was going to love them and really made that my practice that helped me to turn it around. Now, I had to have the intellectual savvy to, dance on my feet and come up with the seminar they wanted on the spot, yes. But I couldn't have pulled that off if I didn't have some connection. I was making connection with these people. I was working Jeremy during the breaks. I was working this guy, Michael. I was, using humor. Humor's another way. Humor in the workplace. If you can use humor, it softens the heart. It brings people into their hearts. Think about it. When you're laughing. Yeah. You can use it here. You can use the word spiritual essence here. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like it doesn't matter what level they're on, hierarchically or whatever it is.
Do relate to humor. And it is, it's they're all in rapport. Everybody is doing that at once. They're laughing. And, they are connecting with that essence.
And when there's all the stress, it breaks, it's like a valve.
Yes. It lets off some steam. It's a pressure relief valve, and it lets something else in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, other questions before we start turning to ourselves here? Other questions? Yeah. Yeah, you and then you.
Yeah, the question I'm going to ask when I get out of the room, will business really change that? So I think people can change businesses, and I think businesses are pragmatic. They'll change if they have to. But we're dealing with capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we're not going to see something more cataclysmic. this, like rather than 100 months, maybe things evolving very smoothly. What's your impression?
Yeah. Well, my impression is that business is actually incredibly open if something works. Business is more willing to make a fast change than anywhere else in the population. So if it's something that actually is working, they'll change it. They're in the business of making money, so it needs to also make money. I think, though, if you look at what's happened post September 11th events, I am seeing a difference in a few ways. One is that people are looking at their work in a deeper way. And, people's deaths flash before their faces. Everybody looked at their death when September 11th happened. It was like, that could, if for the grace of God, that could have been I. My life could be done. And sort of looked at the preciousness of this opportunity that we have. And I'm seeing that in the way people are re-examining things in business personally. There's more of a personal look going on in business with people. I'm also seeing more focus on community. If you look at what the response was, it was a pulling together. The way people, took care of people in New York City, people bringing people into their homes, places where planes got grounded, other places. There was an island in Canada, was it Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, where a plane, thousands of people came in, and people came in with their covered dishes and brought dishes in for people every night until the planes could leave again. I think that sense of community, I'm seeing the effect of that in businesses. So I think people are more aware of the interrelationship. Now, how this plays out, we'll see. We'll see. I think, you've got these two things, these push-pull. You've got the old way, the tenaciously holding on to this is the way you make money, this is the way you do it, and the new way of people like you're describing that are thinking, we can make money and we can make a difference too. And I think, at this time, we are in this incredible transitional time, and when you're in a transitional time, there's a lot of chaos. But out of chaos, things start to order. There starts to be patterns that start to come out of chaos. And which patterns are going to emerge? I think you're going to see businesses that are more focused on units, like kind of spinning little units versus your steep hierarchies and a relationship there. Beyond that, I can't say. Other than I see business being very open and very responsive and willing to make changes. Now, this is not all businesses. You also have some organizations that I see that are steep hierarchies and, as a whole organization, are more clinging to the old way. Okay. There are some organizations that have a steep hierarchy, and within them there are departments that are being run differently. I think with this shift that goes on, that's what you're going to see more, is that self-organizing units are going to have influence over the whole organism. I mean, I'm seeing businesses more as an organism than a structure. It's more organic. What were you going to say? Whether or not we get 100 monkeys is what?
Whether or not we can get 100 monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 99.
Right. Yes.
That's
what
we should.
Yeah.
But I did have a question.
Okay. Okay. And then you.
Which was, when you get into a shadow of a fear of that, how can you stop it? I know it's kind of really two questions.
When you get into your fear and shadow dynamic, or when somebody else does?
When you get into someone else's shadow dynamic, or
Yeah. sometimes you have to bail, but a way to stop it is to really check in, what are their needs and wants right now in the situation. For example, a negativist, one of their needs is to not have things get worse. They have fear that things are going to get worse. So how can that fear be addressed by your interactions? Or what? Other, like a know-it-all, a person who's a know-it-all, you know, an arrogant kind of individual. A lot of that is they have a need for a strong sense of self or sense of being important, that they don't somehow feel important. That's the shadow side of it. So it's like if you can somehow, in an appropriate way, help them meet their needs, then they don't have to go around over here trying to grab it, you know, around behind somewhere. What was your question?
I think the momentum is the problem to break the two old structures. Of course, the momentum works both ways. Back a long time ago, Richard Mann and Earl Carnegie employed an individual by the name of Paul Hill to go around and discover what made success. And one of the principles was going to think that the individual is principle of class or discussion is a higher mindset. Works both for and against, in the sense that it has a group that comes together and they talk and they relate and they correspond on an issue, they tend to draw down more than what is available to any given individual or collective individual. It's like they reach a higher mind principle. And often what was discovered was the person with the least influence in a scenario, or the least bias in a scenario would come up with the most reasonable idea. So as a result, the idea for the change is to invoke that. But you're going up against that being invoked in business. Mm-hmm. You have board groups, you have a security, you have a collaboration with the best interest that sits, and we're trying issues that involve money and success. And it's all a very self-interested motif. And as a result, they have set up a force, a thick force, and it's not a force that you penetrate. And it's a force that carries a vibration about it that feeds on itself and also evokes. So the negative
Yeah. When you look historically about dramatic changes and revolution, it often happens from the people who don't have the power. It often happens from people who don't feel they have the power by collectively coming together to make some kind of change. Yeah. Could you speak up? I can't hear you. I think it's a good question, and I don't think I have all the answers. I think there's some questions right now that kind of sit there as questions. I think there's some questions, which is what I'd like to do now. What I wanted to do was shift this in right now into our own story. You okay with doing that? Do you have a quick comment before we do that? Yeah.
And that the people who are involved in whatever change needs to be have some concept of what that vision is. I mean, I think that
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and this, the idea of having a vision, I think that this is becoming very much sort of part of the new story in organizations, is to have a vision, to have something that, you know, is collectively what we're holding of where we're going or how we want things to be, and then having it up to individuals to support that in their own individual way and to come up with ideas and have input. That's sort of part of the new story I see. And I think what I'd like to do is segue from that into our own personal vision here. You know, this is a real short time for this topic, you know, with something that probably deserves, you know, us going off for a weekend for a couple of days to really go in depth into this topic. But I want you to think, given what we're talking about here, getting to the heart of business, which is, or getting to the heart of the work. Place, you know, in the workplace, bringing heart in, all of those aspects. What I want to do is have you close your eyes and kind of go inside here with this. So going within and think about getting to the heart of work, getting to the heart at work. And just allow in the mirror of your heart for the energy that's been created in this room, for that to reflect into your own heart, to see what your inspiration is in helping to make this new energy real. In your way, in your work, with your heart. And just sit in this space and see what comes. things about the Friends of God and with the spirit of guidance is that you need to ask sometimes. It's like I find there's a great availability of that guidance and that help on other planes when I asked for it. And sometimes I'm being helped when I don't ask for it, but there's a certain adab, I think, or spiritual etiquette that goes on that I don't entirely know all the details of, but my feeling is that there are certain energies that come through us because it's part of our destiny. And there's some energies that come through us when we ask and when we give permission, that they can't necessarily intervene or interfere with our destiny unless we invite it in. So I encourage you to work with that which is available more consciously to bring it into your work. And there are... there's a great deal of energy right now for those of us who are doing service. We're doing service. There's so much help. And I invite you also to remember the joy, because when you are in your joy, when you are in, you know, your heart is more alive. So, thank you. Yeah. They're asking that you speak up. This room is acoustically very hard.
The fourth level of consciousness, which is judgment and evaluation, has to be evoked because it is the bridge to wisdom. And the intellect doesn't do that job. The intellect gathers up all the information. And if it is not then properly evaluated and the person is not in balance, then
Anila's comments, particularly from people that we haven't heard anything from, there's a number of you with this size group, it's hard to hear anything, but any last comments? I mean, I'm done as far as what I have to say, but I just want to invite if there's a few last comments people would like to make, particularly, like I say, from people I haven't heard from, we haven't heard from. Yes. They're asking for a volume up.
I don't know if it was there with me, but I worked for university and I was recently in a meeting talking about this type of thing, about how we can look at things we're doing at our university. And one of the professors in marketing brought up something which I think is actually very relevant. And what she said was that there can be an issue for people if a business promotes itself as being a caring business, people's expectations open and their hearts open. And so then the onus is on the people who've made that commitment to actually follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And because people experience an enormous sense of betrayal if suddenly business is offering an opportunity and saying that this is available and then you don't follow through. And so you have to have a realization that it takes more time. So where you can run a business which allows a 5-7 window for somebody, and suddenly the need is greater than that, coming from the heart means that you will actually extend that window.
Yes.
And so your original intention can be coming from a wonderful place, but it's really important to not divert.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, that's happened a lot in my job, like being my intention for a long time. And I found that surprising that on occasions, you know, one of my students had a serious problem with something to do with the university. And I'd ended up going down on a Sunday and working with them, whereas my director was actually just an office, it's just too hard for them.
Yeah.
And the difference that makes the student and the difference that makes their perception of our department and our commitment to them was huge. But I think that that's actually a really important thing to add into the conversation.
Yeah. I think it is, and what it is, it's, you know, it's getting back into that whole system. You know, when it's not just about that student, it's about you, it's about the other professors, it's about the whole department, it's about the whole school. You know, it's about education. You know, it has much greater ramifications. I encourage you before you leave the room to write on the card anything that came to you when we sat quietly there, so that you remember that. Thank you.